This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, we're going to begin a series featuring the 2015 USEA Hall of Fame inductees, starting with Dorothy Crowles Molokai. But before we hear from Dorothy, we're going to talk to Jerry Lance, who is the volunteer coordinator for the Neutrino USEA American Eventing Championships, and also Don Trotter, who has been a volunteer at events for many years. First of all, Jerry, tell us how you got involved in the first place.
Actually, my daughter used to ride, and she took lessons from Aaron Kellerhouse, Robert Kellerhouse's wife, and it's been almost 12 years ago now. Even before then, I was volunteering just as ring stewarding and jump judging and whatever came along. But then when we started taking lessons from Aaron, Robert suggested that I take on the organization of the volunteers, and so I did that. I've been doing that now for 11 or 12 years.
Organizing the AECs is a big deal for you then, because obviously it's a major competition on our calendar. How many volunteers would you have?
Anywhere between 250 and 350 volunteers for the week. And we do need volunteers from the Monday through the following Monday. And everything ranging from your basic, I have zero experience, teach me how to do this job, to very experienced people such as Don, who does our ring stewarding for us.
Well, as we know, the sport relies so much on volunteers. So Don, I want to bring you in now, because you've been doing this for quite a while. Tell us exactly when you started volunteering for eventing and how it came about.
Well, I got started at Galway Downs, and it was kind of a fluke. I am a horse show husband. My wife and I breed horses for the Olympic disciplines at Sunspray at Warm Bloods, and I really am not very good at horse shows. I have a tendency to hang out in the barn aisles and just annoy the heck out of our riders, so I needed a job. And Tony, who is probably the best ring steward in the country, brought me over to show jumping at the CCI 3-star. I think it was its first year at Galway, and I started ring steering at show jumping. And then Margie Malloy had me do it over at 3-Day Ranch back when that show was going, and it just became I guess I pretty much volunteer at every show in Area 6.
So what is it about volunteering that you enjoy then? And what would you say to people who are thinking of getting involved?
Well, eventing is an entirely underappreciated equestrian sport. And if you get a chance to spend any time around eventers, riders, horse owners, organizers, you'll find that that's really a rare and unique group of people, community of people. So after spending, 20 years in my career, I wasn't a very good person at retiring either. So now that I have, it's really rewarding to not only for us as horse owners to see our horses go, but to watch the joy on some of these young riders' faces, they're coming off cross country, it just breaks your heart. They're amazing. Eventers are amazing people.
Let's come back to you now, Jerry, because obviously organizing the AEC volunteers requires you to be multitasking constantly. How do you structure that?
We actually have stewards that are responsible for different areas, such as, hospitality, stabling, VIP tent, the parties, and then, of course, the dressage, cross-country, or show jumping. So we have people that are responsible for organizing the volunteers in those areas. And then they pretty much corral all of their volunteers. But if I could also add on to Don, what Don was saying there, it does take a village to run a show. And I think what a lot of people may not realize is that the village is made up more of volunteers than it is paid folks out there. So if you have a family member that is riding, or like Don has, he's got horses in the show, or you just have an interest in horses, it's a fun way to spend your day, and you will learn more than you can ever imagine at one of these shows if you do volunteer. Matter of fact, when I first started out volunteering, I used to jump judge, and my daughter was just getting into eventing. And I used to go be able to tell her the rules before she knew what the rules were, just because I was out there working with the jump judges and hearing the TV talk about it. So it is, it's definitely an experience, and one well worth taking a day out for.
Well, Don, as you know, horse shows do require a lot of hours, a very long day. I mean, what do you think is key to being a good volunteer?
Being prepared. It really is an important part of it. I carry a backpack, you know, with extra water, and even though, you know, on hot days, especially coming, you know, we're coming on to Texas, it's carrying a few essentials with you. If you're going to be a jump judge, it's really important that you bring, you know, you bring a chair. They make these camping chairs now that barely weigh a pound. And they have little shades for them and things like that. But just being prepared is really important. And hospitality on the shows that Jerry runs, hospitality is right there for you almost all the time. But it is important that you stay hydrated out there. And be prepared to have fun. My goodness, it is a lot of fun.
Yes. And just so you know, we do supply drink and food for our volunteers, so we don't put you out there and make you starve. And Don's right, you know, the way I like to put it is, you know, wear comfortable clothing and prepare for the weather. So, you know, if you're in Texas, you got to imagine it could rain at any point during the day. So plan on a little bit of rain and plan on stripping off if it gets too hot. Also, hats and sunscreen is another key thing for bringing if you're going to be volunteering all day long.
What do you say to people that are thinking of volunteering, that Jerry, you know, that, because you always want to add to your pool of volunteers for any event. You can never have too many, can you?
Absolutely not. And, we try and make accommodations for those moms that are out there watching their kids and they need to get away for that half hour to go watch the kids. You know, we try and fill in their slots so that they can go do whatever they need to do. They just need to let us know ahead of time so we can kind of plan for that. And again, it's just, you know, come out and enjoy the fun, because it's good people. I never met anyone that's been irate or rude at a eventing horse show, and it's a great day. So I'm not sure what else. Don, maybe I've said something to you in the past that's made you come out.
I would just say, come on down, have some fun, be prepared to have a good time. If you know any of the people that are, you know, that are participating in these events, it really does become kind of a festival, a three-day festival. You know, just be prepared to have fun. And as a ring steward, I would say, if you get a chance to do that, be friendly, because it's so much easier than not being friendly. Takes a lot less energy, and you're the customer contact. The customer being, you know, the horse owner who's paying the entry, the rider who's paying the entry, or the people that literally keep the lights on in U.S. eventing, the adult amateurs. They're there. They could be scared if they're a beginner or novice. It's a good thing to have a calming influence on the riders, and especially at the national level, because once we get up into FEI and things like that, most of the riders pretty much take care of themselves. They know their job.
Which of all the roles that you've played, Don, have you enjoyed? You know, ring steward, you've jumped judge. I mean, which do you prefer to do if you got the choice?
Well, if I had the choice, I guess I would ring steward. I really do have the choice. And I ring steward all over Area 6, and I get to know a good number of the riders, practically, at least two-thirds of our regular riders here in Area 6. I'll see them at one show, and then in 2 weeks I'll see them at another show, and in 2 weeks I'll see them at another show. And we have a very crowded schedule here in Area 6, and it makes for a lovely kind of how you've been, you know, kind of environment. And although I started event volunteering, I started as a jump judge, and I had a bunch of fun. And it was at the Twin Rivers event, and it was like 105 on cross country day. But I came prepared. I had plenty of water, and I had a chair and a big hat.
Do you want to sort of squash that notion that you don't really need any experience before you can volunteer and enjoy the sport as a volunteer?
Absolutely not. And there are we have what we call our Sign Up Genius. It is a website. You can get to the link for the AECs through the AEC website, an AEC page. And on there is a description of every job that we've got out there. And we've got everything from taking tickets at parties to checking in people at the VIP tent to being an information docent, being able to tell people where to go and get them around the grounds easily. To being a scribe for show jumping or a scribe for dressage, either one. I mean, there's a ton of jobs out there. And the ones where we do require some experience, we have put in the description, on the description of those jobs, that some experience is required. Other than that, if there's nothing mentioned on there, it's pretty much we will train you the day of. So you don't have to be afraid to sign up for whatever you want. And if you sign up for something and you get there that day and you feel like, well, maybe this isn't what I need or should have signed up for, then say something and we will do whatever we can to, you know, get your jobs rearranged with somebody else that's there. We're very flexible when it comes to that kind of stuff.
All right. So obviously juggling that roster, when it comes to the AECs, do you have kind of a roll-on, roll-off situation or certain shifts for people throughout the day, Jerry?
That is all spelled out on the website underneath each of the positions that are available. Some jobs we can split off at a half a day, and other jobs it's a little more difficult, so we require you to stay the whole day. But you have to go out to the website to see which those are.
All right, so you're always looking for volunteers. The AEC is a great opportunity. As you say, it is a festival for the sport and for the volunteers to have a really good time, you know, while giving back to the sport. Well, Don, when is your next competition?
My next competition is Copper Meadows here in Southern California, in San Diego County in Ramona. The Copper Meadows, it's a three-star event, CIC three-star. And it goes all the way down to intro, so it'll be a long 3 days for me. but I really have to second pretty much everything Jerry says. And if your interest in volunteering is to have a little bit more of a critical job, then I would say, you know, check in with Jerry and see if you can sit with a ring steward for a day and learn the ropes, because it's
absolutely
a needed, you know, there's so many needed jobs and, you know, Copper Meadows at this particular point is having a little trouble, you know, hunting down jump judges, and we're only 4 days away from the competition. So it truly is a terribly important task. And for anyone involved in the equestrian sports, or interested in becoming involved in equestrian sports, it is a quick way to actually learn how it all works.
And be prepared to have a good time.
And exactly. Certainly be prepared to have a good time, because, I love the fact that they call it eventing, because it really is an event.
Anything you would like to add ahead of this year's AECs, Jerry?
Just come on out and have some fun with us. We're looking forward to making the third and final year in Texas a big one.
Thank you both for your contributions. We really appreciate it, and for taking the time to come on the program this week.
Had a bunch of fun. Thank you very much.
And now, in the first of our series of the 2015 USEA Hall of Fame inductees, we remember Molokai. Dorothy Kroll partnered Molokai to win the individual silver medal at the 1994 World Equestrian Games in The Hague. They finished second at the inaugural CCI four-star at Rolex and also finished in the top 10 at both Badminton and Burley. Welcome back to the program, Dorothy.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate it.
Well, this is an opportunity, of course, for you to talk about that amazing partnership you had with him. When you think about the recognition that he's got, what's your fondest memory of that? I mean, when you just have this sort of distant view to what he's done and what he's represented in your life.
Well, without a doubt, Molokai has made my life, my adult life, possible. He made it possible for me to achieve my childhood dream of riding for the United States, of winning a medal, standing on a podium, you know, in front of my parents, and receiving that medal. He made it possible for me to continue to have this sport that we love as how I make a living. I was able to do it, and how lucky is that to be able to make a living doing something you love to do? So many people don't have that in their life. And he made it possible for me to have a farm and a barn and have horses, including him, in his retirement, turned out in front of my house so that I could, my strange little dream was always to be washing dishes in the sink and look up and be able to see my horses through the window. And he made that possible, that I was able to do that. And he gave me the credibility to be able to make some changes in our sport when needed, and he just is the reason that I am who I am. So he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame because that's a pretty remarkable thing.
Well, he certainly had earned it in terms of his career. But when you look at his personality, Dorothy, you know, what was it about that made him such a winner? You know, the tenacity, the competitiveness that made him stand out above the rest and achieve the results that you did with him?
Well, Mo was, Lauren O'Brien said it best when she wrote him for me. At one point, we were stationed in England and I had gone home to visit family. So she wrote him for me for a few days. And when I came back, she said, riding Molokai is like riding a Jack Russell. He had a Jack Russell personality. He was tenacious. He would not give up. It just didn't occur to him to change his mind and try something else because this wasn't working. That was both a great advantage and sometimes a great disadvantage throughout his career. I am convinced he had ADD or ADHD because there were so many times when all I wanted to do was quietly trot around a 20-meter circle, and people thought he was tense, but what he was actually doing is throwing in, how about shoulder in? How about hunches in? Half pass, change bend, maybe canter, maybe flying change. What? Come on, there's something more. We got to be doing more here. There's got to be more to do here. We're really just trotting around the circle. That is so boring. What else are we doing? And that was the conversation you had. Well, people were saying to me, oh, he's so tense. It was never that. It's like, no, he's not tense. He's just, life is moving too slow for him. And so Molokai, he won multiple fitness awards, and I always felt a little bit guilty about receiving them because, man, I mean, his life just burned on a different level than everybody else's. So he was always crazy fit and trying to slow his brain down sometimes to teach him something was often difficult. But once he learned it, it was done. You didn't have to teach him again, and he was all over it.
Was it a case of love at first sight when you first met him?
Yes, I went with a student of mine to look at an off-the-track thoroughbred. And it was Mo, and she got on him, and he was this skinny, scrawny little four-year-old, really in reality was still three, but it was the spring of his fourth year, and he was so narrow that he had scars on the interior of both of all of his ankles where he'd whack himself, and he just there was just not a whole lot to look at, and he was kind of crazy to ride, and he scared her a bit. And then I got on him, and I don't know, I just, the conversation was there, it was immediate, and it was just one of those special moments where I got off and thought, I want to keep this horse. I want to keep this conversation going. And luckily she decided not to buy him, and my wonderful Aunt Jody Trapp, was kind enough to help me put a down payment on him. And then the family was kind enough to, the Mangionis were kind enough to let me spend the next 2 or 3 years working sales at Keeneland and Fezzik Tipton to pay him off. So every time I worked a sale, I just gave the money straight to them. It took 2 or 3 years, but I finally paid him off.
Well, in those early days of the relationship, of course, it takes a while before, you know, you click with a horse that you realize that you've got a partnership here that's going to go somewhere. But what were those early little challenges for you, given that he did have a strong personality, Dorothy?
Well, he definitely taught me patience. He taught me how to spend 3 hours to do what might take on some horses 15 minutes. It was possibly lucky that he was early in my career, because now, however many years later, I understand just how patient I had to be with him. It was after Mo that I had my first 15-minute warm-up for dressage that was an intentional thing. Molokai was always a multiple ride, probably put it all together in an hour and a half to 2 or 3 hour warm-up for dressage. And I mean, often you got on him at least twice before your dressage test if time was available. There were times when I planned to get on and off of him a couple of times, and other than swinging past the trailer to grab a coat, I never got off. I mean, I remember down at Southern Pines one time, I literally was on him for 3 hours because he was just so spun up, and you know, his world, once again, everybody thought he was tense, and it wasn't really tension. It was just, you had to do that to slow him down, to slow his brain down so that he could listen. And I'm not sure, I am absolutely sure right now, if I were to meet Molokai and it's a young horse, I would call someone else. I don't have that patience anymore. And I don't have the flexibility to sit on him when he would do his little athletic moves. he routinely dumped me about 3 to 4 times a year. And it was usually a spectacular thing where you're walking along on a loose rein, relaxed, and the next thing you know, it's like the cartoon, the next thing you know, you're in the air and there used to be a horse underneath you and the horse is not there anymore. And now you're on the ground. So, that kind of athleticism and keeping up with it was definitely a challenge that as a 53-year-old woman, I probably would call someone else to do.
So when you look at your career highlights with him, what are the standout moments for you of that partnership?
Well, I would say the first time we completed Rolex and were third, being third at Rolex was, you know, such a dream for me. I was kind of shocked. And then the back and forth of, because back then for the Olympics in 92, it was strictly by points. It was completely subjective. So they were trying to decide whether they were going to take people that had through 8 points or not. And so it was back and forth and getting the phone call that I was supposed to pack up in a Charlie Plum and I with 8-pointers. And we were given less than a week's notice that we had to pack up and get to Gladstone and be ready to fly to England with our horses, was kind of a shocking moment in my life. And trying to think of how you pack to go to England, you know, without any knowledge or former experience with that, with a horse, was also very scary, much less packed to possibly go to the Olympics. The first time I jumped around Burley, being out there with all these names that I'd read about and watched and idolized, and then being ahead of them, you know, going into the show jumping, choking in that show jumping and pulling two rails. I think I would have been second if I'd gone clean. I ended up ninth, which was still the highest placed American that year at a what would now be considered a 4-star. But I was, of course, do I remember that? Do I take pride in the fact that in that year I was the highest placed American at any international competition at that level? No. All I can remember is that it choked and had two rails on a horse who never had rails. And the fact that my dad, when I walked out, said, well, I calculate that to be about $3,000 a rail. And so, you know, all those memories. But definitely, obviously, standing on the podium and sharing that with who would end up being my husband, John, and my parents was amazing. And excuse me. And then, but the one ride that always comes back to me is his final run at Rolex in 98, which was the first actual 4-star they had at Rolex, and being the only horse to go clean and fast on cross country, and being the hometown hero, and literally every step of the way there was somebody cheering. It wasn't just at the signature fences, but every galloping step there was somebody cheering. It was a magical ride, one that I'm sure I'll never be able to emulate, and that's okay. You should, if you're lucky enough to have one of those in a lifetime, enjoy it and don't expect more. That's how I feel about it.
Well, given the impact that he had on your life completely, Dorothy, how would you sum up, maybe in a sentence, if you had to say who Mo was and what he meant to you?
Mo was my best friend, really. For a long, long time, it was me, my truck, my trailer, my dog, Rose, and Molokai. And we were vagabond gypsies, whatever you want to call it. We went wherever we needed to go to further our career. And wherever we needed to go to be able to afford to do what we were doing. I didn't have a home base. I remember in Barcelona, I mean, after Barcelona, everybody was packing up to go home, and I didn't have a home, actually. There was nowhere for me to go. I wasn't even sure where I was going to go. So it was kind of strange. But that's, you know, my home was at that point my truck and trailer. So for sure, between Rose, my three-legged Australian Shepherd, and Molokai, they were my best friends, and I trusted him implicitly, and I think he trusted me too. We enjoyed each other, we understood each other, and I now know, farther on through life, just how amazing and remarkable he really was as an athlete. I've been on a lot of really nice horses since Molokai, but really nice horses, but Mo was just a completely different level of athleticism, footwork, the ability to make up for a bad distance that I had put him into and make it look like that was our plan, because he was just such a consummate athlete. I mean, he could just step into a half stride and pop up into the air and make it look like it wasn't actually a half stride and do it without effort. I mean, there was no effort, and people would say, wow, how could you be so brave to jump those fences? Hannah Sue put a picture of what we used to know as the Centaur's Leap at Burley, which looks just as big and imposing as it always has. And and I tell people, because Molokai can skip over that fence. I mean, literally skip over it. And if you know you have a horse that can jump that fence from whatever distance you put it to without effort, then suddenly you don't get all freaked out about riding perfectly. And and you can actually settle down and enjoy your job. And that's what Molokai gave me, was the understanding of being confident and really being able to enjoy your job. And so that was a long sentence. I apologize.
Well, wonderful memories, and I'm sure the celebration is going to be nostalgic and emotional for you. But I want to thank you for coming on the program this week and sharing your memories of him.
My pleasure, always. Thanks, Chris.
And, of course, the Hall of Fame inductees will be remembered at the 2015 annual convention, which takes place at the Omni Shoreham Hotel and Resort in Washington, D.C., from December the 2nd through the 6th. And you can find more information on the website and details of registration. Just go to useventing.com and click on the convention link. And also, whilst you're there, be sure to check out the 2015 Neutrina American Eventing Championships, which take place at the Texas Rose Horse Park in Tyler, Texas, from September the 24th through the 27th. And again, you'll find a link on the front page to the AECs. If you'd like to sign up for the USEA's digital newsletter, just click on the envelope in the top right corner of the front page on the website. As well as all the news on the website, you can keep up to date with breaking news by visiting us on the Facebook page and following along on Twitter. As well as listening to this podcast on the website, you can also download it from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app. And that's it for this week's episode. Thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.